And it's so nice to have everybody here today. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, because I know we're all busy. And there's things that are happening in our lives that, you know, it's happening with you, but maybe not other people. But you're still here. And we get to be able to worship with you, and it means an awful lot. It's just like, it's important to have the children here. It's important to have you here as well. So thank you very much. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. And Father, I thank you so much for your word. Your word means an awful lot to me, and I know it means an awful lot to everybody here and to every Christian. Because it's a way that we can find out who you are. We can find your character. We can find what you ask of us. And it's true. These are things that are eternal. And we appreciate that, Lord. So allow the Holy Spirit to work in amongst us all, and just to share everything that we've got with everyone else and you. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Also, if you haven't heard, Chrissy is back in her home now. So I think Tom and Pat are back home. And it's like, that's got to be such a good feeling, you know, for them to be able to do that. But there's still a worry, because Chrissy still needs a lot of attention. And continue to keep them in prayer. They're the good people here. So I'm going to start off with a story that I told Tom. I told him not to tell anybody. Because it's an embarrassment, because I called him up the other day and I asked him for some help. I was putting a little electric cart together for Sherry Tebow, and it needed some new batteries in there. So we ordered the batteries, and I hooked the batteries up, and the thing still wouldn't run. So I'm like, oh. So I ripped the thing apart, you know, took the seat off, got all the plastic molding out, got underneath, and I got all the wires and everything and the connections. I sent Tom like four different pictures and stuff. And, you know, he has two batteries, 12-volt batteries. So he says, you got to have 24 volts. I don't know how many times you said that. And I'm like, I know, but I don't have any of that. And it's like, and then it finally dawned on me. I didn't hook the batteries up right. I had one of the leads twisted the other way, so I had the negative on the positive and positive on the negative. I don't know how I did that. And it seemed to work really well after that. So I appreciate Tom taking the time, getting frustrated with me, because he's like, it's got to be there. And I was like, whatever. But that's sometimes, it's going to lead into, you know, our message, which is keeping the light, is the struggles that we have because we get things wrong. And we have no idea why things aren't working out right, but it's probably because of something we have done. And we just can't see it. So I liked what Bonnie was saying, how, you know, God, you know, helped me to see clearer, you know, some of the things that we need to be able to see. And sometimes it's not pretty, but we see that we have sometimes connected our terminals the wrong way. And we think we're doing great because we got new batteries, right? And we get all excited because we've got all the energy in the world. But yet, when we hook up to do something, nothing. I was putting my Teslas up in there, and I had like 0 amps or 0 volts going through there. And it's like, well, I had positive 12 on one side, and I had negative 12 on the other side. You put those two together, and you get zero. You know, so it appears to be something that's like that when we set it up. Well, the idea behind the message we have here today is what we talk about our Christmas Eve service, and we have the candlelight stuff, and it's really, really powerful to be able to you know, hold that light as representation of the light of Christ. And it's a physical thing we can have, basically, of what the lights that is within us. And we want to hold that light forever. In fact, we want that light to grow bigger. You know, not our light, but Christ's light in us. But you know how things go, right? You get on fire one moment, and then the next moment, you're not so on fire. And then you get back on fire, and then you have like 2 moments where you're not really on fire. And then you have a half a moment when you're on fire. Then you have a 3 moments when you're on fire. You know, sometimes it goes almost like a roller coaster in terms of our walk with God. And it's like, we need to keep the light. We need to keep the light burning all the way through. So I've got some scripture verses that kind of talk a little bit about that in terms of making sure that we've got the connections correctly put in. All right, so we're going to be looking at some scriptures that really sound good, and then we get some that don't sound so good. And it's kind of like our walk in a way, but more as maybe society or the people that are around us. Let's start off with John 10, 40 through 42. It says, "Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. And they said, though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true, and in that place many believed in Jesus." And isn't that neat? Because the ministry that John had in terms of that baptism of repentance, there were literally just droves of people were coming to John the Baptist. It seemed like there was a movement that was going on, and even the Jewish leaders at the time couldn't figure this out, because baptism wasn't something that was an Old Testament thing. That's new. And they couldn't really figure out who gave you this thing about baptism and stuff. And John, like it says, never performed a miracle. And yet, there were miracles happening around him all the time. People were turning back to God and repenting of their sinful ways. All in preparation for Christ. So that when Christ came, look at the end result. Many believed in him. Right? That's we look at that and we say, praise God! It's like, that's an awesome thing that's happening. And we've got other stories of that happening. In Acts chapter 2, verses 36 and 39, Peter had been talking to all of those people that kind of congregated around him after kind of like the Holy Spirit had been poured out, especially on the disciples, with the what looks like flames of tongues of fire and stuff that came down. And it's like Peter's talking to them about, you were the ones that killed Christ, you were the ones that put him on the cross, and all that. And it's like, you would think they would all just cower and run from that sort of thing. But look what it says here. It says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this God. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, from whom the Lord our God will call." Then you go down a little bit later, 3,000 people came to the Lord. 3,000. Just so you know, this church couldn't hold 3,000. That's crazy. Because of what Peter was saying, and because of the movement of the Holy Spirit, and there's a movement, it seems like when one gets saved, oh, there's a jump, there's another one. It comes in trends and waves sometimes, but it's like, this is really good stuff. And it's really powerful for us to be able to hear it. Because we remember those days, the day that maybe we accepted the Lord. And the movement that came along with that, and how special that moment is. Maybe many of you remember the day, the hour, the place. I don't know. Mine wasn't like that. Mine was just more of a, it happened sometime, and it was kind of neat. But it doesn't matter. Either way, there's a kindled fire that's in us because of that particular moment when we accepted Christ for the very first time. Ever, and got to know who he was. And we look at this now, and these other people coming and experiencing that moment, how special that is. And we get this scripture verse here in Romans, and it really talks about the Christian walk and the life that a Christian should have. So we look at chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. It says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor for serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." These are all the things that Christians should be doing every moment of their day.
Amen.
Thank you. How come there's only one amen? Well, it's like, think about this stuff. What would you be able to do if you did all of these things all the time? Well, it'd be great, I mean, to be able to do that, but it's like, that's a lot of weight. You know, I just need some downtime. I just need to get away from people every once in a while. You know, like, you know, Hope and I are different that way. You know, Hope gets stressed out in big groups. I get energized in big groups, right? And when we're kind of quiet and stuff, I get antsy. She gets relaxed. And it's like, you know, it's kind of different in how we are. But we seem to moderate each other in a really kind of a special way. And I really appreciate that about Hope a lot. Yeah, but it's like, when you look at this, never be lacking in zeal. That, it almost to me, it's like, you got to have energy for the Lord no matter what. But I'm feeling depressed today. I don't care, you got to have that energy, you know? And it's like, well, I don't feel it. I don't, that's the Christian way, you know? And then the hospitality thing, someone knocks on your door, it's like, oh, they come today. You know, it's like, you got to have a smile on your face and you got to be able to get something whipped together, maybe for a meal, or maybe you don't have food or whatever. You know, it's just, you got a whole bunch of other things going on, and all of a sudden it's like, ugh. And then you start feeling like, oh, maybe I'm not a very good Christian because I'm not doing the things that Scripture is saying here. Because really, we should be, you know, amplifying. We should be joyful in hope. We should be patient in affliction, prayerful, you know, faithful in prayer all the time. And I know you're not always like that. You know why I know that? Because I'm not always like that. Right? It's our human nature that we have. But we struggle internally sometimes when we get this. But we also, we know that sense of belonging to God. And then we struggle sometimes with serving Him the way we think that we should be serving Him. So we tend to serve Him in a way that fits us more so than it fits Him. That's plugging in the wrong way. Because the end result is 0 volts. Right? We need to serve Him the way He wants us to. And it's not always easy to do that. It takes a dedicated Christian, a faithful Christian, to serve Christ. And it's a lot of work. It's easy to accept Christ because, you know, for salvation, there isn't anything you have to do except believe. You have salvation. Scripture says that. But the aftermath of what comes is the hard part. Because now, God wants you to live and walk as Christ did. So, I can imagine, you know, that the tiredness that Christ went through when He was healing people. People were coming to Him all the time, just crowds. There's times that He would stop and deal with those, you know, calling out to Him as He was trying to rush to get to a certain point. You know, and He's doing things for His Father. And in everything that He did, He always did for His Father. So when someone called out, you know, God the Father said, go to Him, He went to Him. God the Father says, come to the mountain and pray, He went. God the Father says, go on that boat and preach, He did. That's how Jesus worked. And it's really how we should be working as well. So all of these things here, we should never be lacking, right, in our zeal for the Lord, or the what it says here, our spiritual fervor, right? To be able to do things for the Lord. And then we get things in Scripture that go like this, where Jesus just healed that man over Demetrius, I can't remember the name of the place. And anyhow, he had many demons inside of him, right? And look at the response of the people around him. And so we go to Mark 5:15-17. He says, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus. Stay here. We want you here. We want you to be able to be in this place. Wait, that's not what Scripture says. Yeah. Wait. The people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. We don't want you. You're upsetting how we do things around here. We can hear and we can see the great things that you say and do, but it doesn't fit us. We're not going to change how we're plugged in.
It disagrees with their current way of life.
Yeah. We're not done yet. See what you taught me? That's why people reject Christ. It's because they don't want to change their ways. They don't want to serve God. They want to serve themselves. And so we get to another scene over here in John 6:60 and verse 66. It says, on hearing it, and what did he hear? That Jesus told the people that you must drink my blood and eat my flesh. Right? And these spiritual things that he's saying, you don't physically do that sort of thing, but what we're going to do is spiritually we need to do that because he is that, you know, ultimate manna from heaven and, you know, whatever. And look at this. Many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And then you go all the way down to verse 66, and look what happened. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. What? How can you turn your back to Jesus after you have been with him and saw all those miraculous things and maybe even have been healed yourself by one of Jesus' miracles?
Their fear is greater than their faith.
Yeah.
Evidently they didn't meant truly, didn't repent truly.
And his ways are not our current.
No. But when people turn their back to Christ and walk away, they don't want to change.
Some situations, you know, when you love the person, you know, and
we don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, we don't know. But, I mean, you try everything. Somebody comes in your house smelling a cat pee, and you keep telling them.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't want to let go of the ways that they're happy living in.
And that's part of the reason why it's so hard for the rich to be able to enter the kingdom of God, because they don't want to let go of their wealth that they have, that money security. You know, their love of the money is greater than the love of Christ and stuff. Yeah.
And until they do, they're not going to understand it.
That's so good talking to the choir. You know, you guys, you really have this down in the sense that, you know, we don't, you know, we understand what it is, but you know what? We still need encouragement because we still have struggles.
Amen.
And working on that. And we know the right thing to do, but sometimes we don't always do the right thing. And sometimes there are times we're saying to God, not now. Right? I need my peace, my quiet, and sometimes I need my pity party. I've done that before. Hope you've seen me sometimes just sitting on a bucket out there and just kind of stewing about some of these things. You know, it's like, and I'm not mean like you. It's just more like projects and stuff I'm working on. It's like it's so frustrated at times. But I, you know, I'm learning patience, and I'm learning how to deal with that sort of thing, and I'm practicing. You know, there was. Doing all that duct work and stuff, and having the little tiny screws, trying to put them into the tin, you know, with the screw gun, and it's like you're working on a round piece of pipe over in a bend like this to be able to get to it, and it's like five times that screw's popping out going on the floor, putting another one in there, you know? It's like, finally I get it, but it's like, that was a real test of patience. And I was like, trying to be able to, you know, just keep going on and not giving up on that whole area there. Well, let's look and see some scripture that might be of value to you. And we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. Jesus had been, or Paul had been talking to the Corinthians about Jewish history, all the Israelite history. And many times, if you read in the history, the Old Testament, that you'll find that the Jewish people will be on fire for the Lord, and then they all of a sudden they fade away, right? And they start doing detestable things, idol worship. They don't really listen to the Lord. They fight amongst other nations. They get captivated by, you know, by other nations. There's times where they do their own bickering from one house to the next, and then they come back to the Lord, and then they go back and do that again. They come back to the Lord, and they go back and through that again. That whole event of the nations is really, you can just kind of sum it up as Mike's life, you know, or your life, because we have those struggles too that we go through. And it's okay. But do you understand, through all of that, and this is what I found, especially in the Old Testament, is that God's love is forever for us. Even when we do some really nasty things, He still loves us and has compassion on us and mercy. You want to find out His compassion and mercy? Read the Old Testament and look at how many times God forgives those people over and over and again. And He even gives them His Son, right, to die on the cross for their sins so they can be right with Him. And what do they do to their Son? Kill Him. You know, and it's just, it's crazy, this stuff here. But that's what He's talking about, all the Old Testament stuff, right? So it says here, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Right? Fulfillment of the ages, Christ has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So just as those Old Testament forefathers and people in that nation where God was leading these people through the desert, and they did all those miraculous signs of the parting of the water, the big pillars of smoke, big pillars of fire, and even being able to come into the promised land and take over all those nations, those people still did some crazy things against God. And so don't think that you are above that. Don't think that you are incapable of doing wrong because you've been a Christian for X men number of years. And that's what Paul is saying. You've got to be on guard. We are weak as individuals. We need God.
Amen.
And if we get to a point where we think that we're strong, that's like the big people, they fall harder, right? Yeah. That's what usually happens at that point here. So this is the warning. He says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. The common sin that was back in the Old Testament is still here today. The very things that allowed them to fall and pull away from God are here today. Yet we have something different than what they had. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, okay, living inside of us, not in a tent or a temple, or, you know, in a covenant, Ark of the Covenant and stuff. The idea is that we have God inside of us. They didn't have, you know, the power over the sin as we do. So it should be easier for us. But we still have those struggles. And then we have this statement here. It says, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Maybe I should read this a little bit differently. God will not give you more than what you can handle. Wrong. That is not what that says. But people take that verse and they switch it around to say that, well, I can only handle what God has given me. And this, if it gets worse, then apparently I can handle more. If it gets better, then I can only handle so much. That is not what God is saying in this verse. And it never says in Scripture that He'll give you more than what you can handle. Never says that. What he says is that you will, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear.
Because you can bear everything if you're in the yoke of Jesus.
Yeah, well, stay plugged in. Stay plugged in the right way. And you'll find what you can bear. Yeah, we're going to look at some of this stuff here too, and where it goes through. He says, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I like that one. I know that the one song, God Will Find a Way, right? I always like that because of this scripture verse here. There's always a way out.
There's no way.
Right? There's always a way out of whatever predicament that you're in. It might be painful, it might be sacrificial or whatever it is, but there's always a way out, and God has a way for you to be able to go through that. But again, maybe we don't want to listen to what God has for us, and we're going to find our own way out, which seems a lot less painful than maybe what God wants us to go through. But I tell you, if you want the blessings, you've got to go through it the way God wants you to go through it. Whatever it is. Now, God will never tempt you. Scripture says that. Right? He will test you. There's a difference between those two. Tempting is pushing you to do wrong. Testing is allowing you to go through a situation. Let's see how you respond to that situation. Is it Christ-like, or is it Mike-like, or whatever your name is? Goes through that. As we look through this stuff over here, and I just want you to know again that there's Christian people that go through horrendous lives. There's Christian people that go through unbelievably easy lives. Why does one get that? Why does one get the other? It's above my pay grade. I don't know. I really don't know. I will tell you what's important with both of those is that Christ is walking with each of those people, whatever they are going through. That is the powerful thing that we have as Christians. That Christ is with you no matter what you are going through. We look at this one here. Paul. Yeah, he's a great guy. What a ministry that he has. The number of churches he established. The Christians that, were... I don't think he baptized very many people, but I think there were people that were baptized all around him. And they just came to know the Lord. He's very powerful in the Word. And he just... miraculous things happened around him. But look at his life. I want you to look at it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, it says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia." What? How could they have hardships if God is with them? Right? So, it can't be that hard. Maybe they're just saying that sort of thing to get people to listen to them. And, you don't believe what I did back, last year or whatever. But listen to what it says. "We were under great pressure, far beyond the ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life." Can you imagine? Oh, maybe some of you probably have had those moments where you're out of the situations around you are out of control, and you are the central focus of whatever it is. And you can't do anything about it. And it's just like, it to the point, and what's oppressive enough, that's just to the point of death for you. I can't even survive. I can't get up in the morning. I can't do any of that stuff. That was what they went through. Persecution after persecution. We know that Paul was, beaten multiple times with a stick, lashed many times with the whip, put in prison many times, stoned, shipwrecked. And that's not even all in Asia. He had a hard life. So much so that if I repeated that, I'm sure I would have broke. And there's many people that break at a certain point and they say, what is the point of following Christ if my life is like this? So it's not even being plugged in the wrong way. It's unplugging sometimes because we think that life is so hard and it's because of God. Let's look at Paul's response and more of what he says here. He says, indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Can you imagine getting to that point where your body can't survive, your emotions can't survive, your thinking can't survive, but your faith continues? Literally, you lose everything but your relationship with God. And then that becomes your gift to share with other people. Still want to say plugged in? Still want to say stay plugged in the correct way? We don't know what this life is going to bring. What we know is that God will continue to be with us and carry us, give us a way out, because He loves us. He just wants us to continue to trust Him and have faith in Him and believe who He is. That's keeping the light lit. And that's powerful too, because I've seen some people, you know, going through some pretty horrendous health issues, and they still praise the Lord. And they're just so grateful when you know that they're in pain, to be able to see you or be able to talk with you and just share some things. It does something to me. I'm thinking, how can they do that? They can't. It's God in them that allows that to happen. They know it, and I get to witness that sort of thing. I think that's just, it's just crazy when we start looking at this. And then Paul speaks some more over here to the Philippians in chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He's lost his strength. He's lost his ability to be able to be just doing the things that he wants to do, because all of that has been broken out of him. He's been to the point of death. He's been sustained by Christ through that. So what does material things mean to him? It doesn't mean anything anymore. What matters is that relationship with Christ. That's what has to hold. That's what allows for eternity. He says, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. That's all of who Paul is. Yeah, he started out, you know, being pretty zealous for the Lord, taking out Christians and doing all that stuff. The Lord kind of touched him on that road to Damascus. And every time he ministered to other people, he grew more. He grew closer to God. Maybe it was because of all those things that happened to him. But I want you to know, you don't have to go through all those things to have a close relationship with God. You just need to be plugged in and plugged in correctly. That's how you keep the light going. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering. Become like Him in His death so that somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's what motivates Paul. I'm going to ask you right now, don't answer, but think about it. What motivates you to do the things that you do? Is it so that you can have more and more of Christ? Or is it so that you can have more and more people looking at you by doing some things? Or is it that you can have more and more comforts? Thank you, Pete. Yeah. That's the correct answer, having more and more of Christ. That's what keeps the light burning. Not by anything that you do on your own, not by having your own righteousness, but as having Christ in you. And sometimes we need to be refocused on that. Listen, you folks are the choir. You guys are a beautiful church. Right, this isn't really for you, but maybe it would inspire you to speak to your brother or speak to your sister, your neighbor, a coworker, and let them know, point blank, what is it that carries you to be able to be the person you are? It's not your, 10 years of schooling that you've got, or the fact that you drive a really nice car. It's the fact that you've got Christ in you. That's sharing. That's what Paul was doing. That's what we need to do. That's exactly what Christ was doing. He was sharing to the people around him of what his Father's like by being an exact replica of the Father, being God Himself. And they had that opportunity to be able to do that, right? And Paul is right there at this moment speaking, through this letter to us. And we could be using that letter and living that way and sharing to others around us in the same way. How neat that is. All right. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, it says, for this very reason, right, make every effort to add your faith to your faith goodness. Okay, we're going to do some goodness out here. And some of that goodness is, I'm going to start saying a little bit more hello to people, and I'm going to, if I see somebody walking down the street, I'm going to give them a little smile and a handshake and say, give them some goodness, That's going to be my thing. And then I'm all set for the year. But Scripture doesn't hold you there, does it? Now, Scripture says, okay, so now we're going to add to, we have to add to goodness. I'm going to add knowledge. Okay, so maybe as I'm walking down the street, shaking hands with somebody, giving them a smile, I'm going to give them some knowledge. All right? So maybe I'm going to give a scripture verse and I'm going to show them, maybe this is something that they need to have. So, okay, walk down the street, shake the hand, smile, give some knowledge, I'm good for the year. Right? No, wait, Scripture says... Okay, and to knowledge, self-control. Oh, I got to add self-control. What does that mean? Oh, maybe when somebody doesn't want to shake my hand, I'm not going to shake my sandals and, get that dirt off of them and, show my disgust to them because they didn't show any kindness to me when I was showing them goodness and I was showing them some knowledge that God has been telling me to do, right? Well, once I get that self-control down and don't kind of say anything or go back and... Oh, I have to have brotherly kindness. Oh, you know what that brotherly kindness means? That means to my brothers and sisters in Christ, I need to show. Yes, all of them. And then you look at that scripture verse where it goes from... I missed. Perseverance, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a good to miss from some of those because they don't have to add up, right? And I don't have to put it in there, but you got, so it's perseverance and then godliness. And then that brotherly kindness, and then it ends up with love. I have a full plate that God is wanting me to do. Like, it's, God, I can't do all of those things. My resume is not that full. Yeah, yeah. And if we don't do anything in love, it doesn't matter any of the stuff before. It's very true. And so, you know, but the point is, God doesn't want you to hold right here, that you need to grow. Grow in that relationship with God. Very, very important. And so, this was really what Peter's saying, is that just because you know God, that's great. What are you doing with it? Have you ever noticed some? I met one person one time. It's not a lot of people are like this, but all they do is they hang on to that one day where they were saved, and they'll tell everybody they know that one day that they were saved over and over and over again because it's just a big miraculous thing. Well, 5 years goes by, 10 years go by, 20 years go by. They're still talking about that one day. And it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's great. But what have they done in those years that's there? How are they different now than 2 weeks ago? How are you different today than you were yesterday? What has God done in your life? What scripture touched you today to allow you to rethink your connection with Him so that you can keep that light burning? He says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, right? So it's not like you just get check goodness off and check the knowledge off and check the self-control off. You are actually increasing in each of those measures as you go through. Some of us have the ability to increase in that much faster than other people like myself. It takes me a long time to be able to do it. But for me, it's like I can get to that 80% pretty quick. It's that next 20% that's the hardest for me. And it's really hard on that last 5% to get to that 100%, which I don't think I ever get there to that point at all. But the point is, it's like it's not about, you know, the things I do. It's what God can do through me. And it's the same thing for you. If we have these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of their Lord Jesus Christ. It'll keep you from falling by having an increase in all of these measures. So if you think you're at that 80% value, and I'm good for the next 10 years on that 80%, think again. God wants you to increase more and more every day. Well, how much can I increase? Well, how much does God have to give you? Think about that. God has more to give me than what I can possibly handle. But He wants me to increase. He wants you to increase in all of this. Right? That's how we stay effective, is by increasing. That's how we rekindle that moment when we accepted Christ and we get on fire for the Lord. Well, guess what? God showed me something through a devotion that this is what I was to do, and I'm blessed because of that. It made my whole day different, better than it was the day before. All right, that's increasing. And then the next day, you're just waiting for that next devotion to come through. Maybe it's not the devotion, but maybe it's a phone call that makes a difference. Maybe it's a package you receive in the mail. Maybe it's a way you can give a stop with somebody and just pray with them that day, because you are energized by that. It's an increasing thing that you have. It says, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Right, Bonnie? We're supposed to be see things more clear, have our eyes opened up to know what we're looking for. That was really nice today. It's a lot of the things that we're saying here, it just really adds to whatever we've got. Let me go on to Philippians 4:8-9. And it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's what our minds should be filled with. But you know what? You ever listen to any commercials that are out there? Do you know what they tell you to fill yourself with in terms of thinking? You deserve that. Go out. And I was listening to this one commercial. It was like, you know what you're going to do different this year? You're not going to get those gifts for those other people. You're going to get those gifts for yourself. And I'm like, are you serious? I was amazed to be able to hear that type of commercial. Don't do it for others. Do it for yourself. Wow. And so, but that's not thinking the way that Christ wants us to think. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. This is what Paul is speaking about. Let me be an example to you. And the God of peace will be with you. Right? So if you need peace with God, think about these things. Increase in measure on all of that. The last verse that I've got, again, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. What I like about this, first off, is Paul saying, yeah, when I'm there, you're a good person. But you know, when I go away to another town and start preaching over there, I hear through the grapevine that you're still a good person. You're doing the things God wants you to do. Right? So we can be great here in the service, and we can have all that brotherly love, and then we go home, and on the way home, I can't believe Pastor said that. He's not right on that. He makes me so mad sometimes. Maybe you do that. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's close. But can you imagine, or even saying what one of your brothers and sisters said or did in the service that just really offended you, and all you can do is think about that item, completely miss the presence of God in the service. Because what you're taking out of this service is something that's negative, something that God doesn't want you to have. You were plugged in the wrong way. When you go out, you should be sharing some of the stuff that was shared within the service here today. That's being plugged in. That's what God wants us to do. And all the more be excited about being able to share those sort of things. Right? And it talks about continue to work out your salvation. Right? It's not working to get saved. You're already saved by believing. But you're working on those things. Goodness, knowledge, you know, self-discipline, perseverance. You know, those are the things that we're working on. Does it take work? Yeah. For some of us, not so much. Other people, yes. And it varies, whatever it is. You know, I, as a student, I know that Monty and Jeff will know this. You can have a whole classroom, and it can be a great class, right? Generally, they're pretty good. But within that classroom, some kids are really good in English. Other kids are not. In that same class, some kids are really good in math. Some kids are not. In science, you know, same thing. Some people think great with their hands, you know, they can do things with their hands. Other people just, they're uncoordinated. Some people are very musically talented in that same class. Some people are shy, some people are not shy. Doesn't matter, but the point is, everybody's an individual, but as a whole, you know, we need to work together and how much we need to share with that. The scriptures here is all about that. For it is God who works in you. It is God who works in you. And Paul understood that because he was broken. The things that he went through, thought his life was over. Well, maybe we don't get to that point. But if we want to do his good purpose, if we want to keep that light burning, stay connected with the right leads in the right place. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so Lord, just thank you for this message here today, and I thank you for everyone here. As Barb was saying, it's a new year coming up. And we always like to make those New Year's resolutions to start fresh. When we start, we need to start with our first step with Christ. Our second step will be Christ. Our third step will be Christ. In fact, every step that we have will be Christ. I thank you for this, and thus we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.